Hello, and thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Professional Pricing Society podcast. My name is Terrence, and we have another duo we're going to be speaking with, and that is Adnan Akbari and Derek Neal, both with Holden Advisors and both expected to be at our fall pricing conference in Atlanta this October. They are going to be speaking with us about driving pricing power through innovation. With nearly 20 years of experience in consultative and in-house roles across energy management, technology, and insurance, and leading growth initiatives within Fortune 500 companies, Adnan specializes in helping firms commercialize software-based offerings. And with over 10 years of operational and consulting experience within the enterprise software, private equity, and financial services industry, Derek manages pricing projects for cross-industry clients, working with teams to improve profitability and the market position. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Doing great. Happy to be here.
Awesome.
Excellent. Hello,
Terrence. Hey, guys. Thanks so much for being here with us. It's going to be a great conversation. You guys do have a workshop in Atlanta during our fall conference called Driving Pricing Power Through Innovation. And so I want to go ahead and just jump right into the conversation. And I want to ask you guys the first question. Can you help us unpack the topic for us? You know, why did you choose this topic of driving pricing power through innovation?
Yeah, I can maybe give a sense of it, and Derek, feel free to jump in. So we've been at a number of conferences and have the opportunity to do a few different workshops, and this one in particular, I'm super excited about, particularly because when we engage with clients, we have the opportunity to really get a sense of why is it that their customers buy from them. And what we often find is that they are providing, massive amounts of value to their customers and spending a lot of time engaging with customers, gathering feedback from customers, internalizing that feedback and thinking through, okay, what can we do next that is going to make sense for a broad set of customers, but is also an attractive option for us. Point being, they're trying to walk away and figure out where to invest to come up with the next best thing, which in many ways is the essence of innovation. In order for that innovation to work, in order for it to be commercialized, and in order for it to scale across their customers, that commercialization strategy, of which pricing is such a big part of, is just so important. How are you going to take this to market once this product feature set enhancement is built up? And how are you going to ensure that it has staying power? How are you going to ensure that it does, in fact, meet the needs of your actual customers? So all of those things are aspects that we are super excited about taking the audience through at the PPS conference in October.
And awesome. One thing I'll add Adnan. So one of the common themes that we hear a lot when we talk to pricers is how they sit at the center of the corporation. I think there was a keynote at PPS last spring that talked about pricing as being the center of the universe. So pricing is truly a cross-functional function. Pricing teams need to kind of stay locked at the hip with the sales team, business development team, marketing, leadership, product development, technology, et cetera. So this is one of the things that I love about pricing. And it's something that comes up all the time when I speak to pricers. And then this spring, Adnan, during the Holden Advisors workshop at PPS in Dallas, we really focused on the link between pricing and sales. So that cross-functional pricing sales link, the need for pricers to coordinate with sellers in their companies to identify, quantify, communicate value to customers. And then this year, I think one of the reasons that we picked this topic and one of the reasons the topic is interesting to me is that it gives us the opportunity to explore a different connection point that's important for pricers. And that's the connection between pricing and product development or engineering teams. So those in the organization that are responsible for innovation, developing new products, adding new features. So that's one thing I like about this topic is that it gives us the opportunity to kind of focus the other direction in the value chain on the relationship between pricing and product development and how to have the pricing organization involved in product innovation early in the process.
That's interesting. Okay, cool. So you're kind of taking it into a different direction this year or this conference compared to the spring conference. Now you mentioned innovation and the working with the engineering individuals. Do you mind elaborate on that? You know, either one of you all can feel free to elaborate, but what do you mean by innovation and pricing power? And if you don't mind defining that in correlation to your specific workshop.
Absolutely. Happy to give a bit more context on those two terms. We hear them all the time, but they might not always be so clearly defined. Mm-hmm. So we think of innovation in a few ways. So the first type of innovation is product innovation. That's kind of the common way that folks think about it. Product innovation, I think, comes in kind of two flavors. You can innovate up. That's probably what most folks think about when they think of innovation. Essentially, it's just thinking of ways to add value and hopefully price to a product or service that you provide by adding features that a customer is willing to pay for. And then I think the second flavor of product innovation is innovating down. So actually thinking about ways to create a new lower value, maybe flanking product or service, stripping out some features to provide like an entry level option, mm-hmm. fewer features or benefits. That's a way to innovate to kind of help protect the profitability of your main product and give an option for more price sensitive customers, which we call price buyers. But then I think even beyond product innovation, one of the things we'll talk about during the workshop is like pricing innovation. Mm-hmm. And so that's the ability to innovate around your price model, your price metric, the value drivers that your pricing is based on. And I think that's one of the pillars to gaining or maintaining pricing power is having a really dynamic, forward-looking, innovative pricing model. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing that we talk about in terms of innovation, it can be bucketed into a large bucket of organizational innovation. So how you change the way that people, processes, and technology come together in your organization to improve your pricing power. So that's a broad topic. During the workshop, we'll focus kind of through the lens of the pricing function. How can you, as a pricer, empower the people in your organization to identify, quantify, and communicate value? Or what organizational mechanisms can you establish to ensure that the pricers remain aware of and aligned to the other functions in the organization? Nice. So that was a long answer on innovation. I don't know, Adnan, if you have anything to add. Otherwise, we can kind of talk about pricing power.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I think about innovation, the piece that I think initially comes to mind is, maybe I'll back up for a second and talk about our approach. And, you know, at Holden Advisors, we often talk about value. And the question is, how much we take a regimented approach to determine how much value you are delivering to customers. So for example, right, we have, we'll go through a process with a number of different types of inputs to say, let's estimate this out. And we've determined that you've provided $50,000 of annual value to your customers as a result of your product or service. And, you know, that could be as a result of offering them the ability to increase their revenue, cost savings, decreasing risk, whatever it may be. There's a quantification exercise. When I think about innovation, one way to think about that innovation, I'd probably say the most common way, which Derek alluded to, is you take that $50,000 and now because of your innovation, you found a better way to do it. You found incremental innovation. Now that $50,000 value on an annual basis, it's $100,000. Because you are providing more value, you know, it's logical and I think fair to be able to charge more for your product or service as a result of that. The other scenario is that, okay, for that $50,000, it's fair for the customer to keep a portion of that value. And it's also fair for the company to keep a portion of that value. The question then becomes, what portion is fair? We refer to that as the capture rate or the portion of that the company would take in. As a result of innovation, you can put some thought into what are some of the levers that I could pull to make that capture rate fluctuate? Should that number be, okay, it's fair for me to take 10% of that value? Should it be, it's fair for me to take 20% of that value? It's hard to say. A lot of different factors come into play, but we will talk about some innovative ways to pull both of those levers, meaning like, how do you increase that total value? How do you quantify that? How do you measure that? Or how do you change the portion of the value that you can take? And I think that does actually touch on you know, it was a two-part question because I think you asked about what innovation and pricing power is, and it's really tying those two together, which is going to be the core of our workshop.
Nice. Your workshop sounds like it's going to be jam-packed with insights about innovation and pricing power. So this is really good. Now, how does innovation and really monetizing that innovation help a company build and maintain pricing power? You guys kind of alluded to it previously, but if you don't mind expounding on that as well.
Sure. So pricing power is something we've been talking about at Holden Advisors a lot lately. I think simply we think of pricing power as the ability to increase prices without decreasing demand for the product. So if you think of companies like Apple or Ferrari or Lululemon, it seems like those companies can charge anything they want for their products without decreasing demand. So pricing power as a concept is closely tied to price elasticity of demand for the product, but we don't need to get into the math. And those examples were all luxury products, but we see pricing power in all other types of companies and industries as well. So as long as the product or service is highly differentiated, we see pricing powers from, you know, everything from commodities to highly niche markets. We think of pricing power as a zero-sum game. So some companies have it and some companies don't. And if you have it, you want to maintain it. And if you don't have it, you want to acquire it. And as Adnan was alluding to, we think innovation is one of the keys, if not the key, to maintaining pricing power. But it's really all about ensuring that the right sort of innovation is happening within the organization to maintain pricing power. So in terms of product innovation, it's about providing the right set of products with the right features and the right value at the right price to kind of ensure price value alignment with your customers. So if you do that well, it helps you either gain or maintain, if you have it already, pricing power in the market. And when it comes to monetizing that innovation, one of the things that we see a lot with our clients, I can kind of give an example, it's the idea of the consumption gap. So this happens frequently with technology companies, so both hardware and software. And it's the idea that new features are added to a product oftentimes faster than customers of that product are able to consume those features, or let alone value those features or be willing to pay for them. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes, if you take, for example, a subscription-based, a SaaS software offering, there's kind of an interesting psychological effect that will take place. If you add features to a product that a customer isn't interested in or won't use, even if you don't increase the price, you actually decrease that value to price ratio for the product, because customers see features in the product that they don't want and they say, I don't want that, I don't need that, I don't want to pay for that, lower my price. And that actually can hurt the value of the product in the eyes of customers that are not using those new features. So that's the consumption gap. We see that a lot, you know, this proliferation of unnecessary product features, unnecessary complexity. The engineering teams can get overzealous. You know, they're focused on the technology. They're nerding out on the technology, not necessarily always thinking about things from the perspective of the customer. And then they develop and add features that the customer is not ready, at least not ready yet. So that whole idea, that's something that we'll explore in the workshop. That's a common that we see, that an organization that can degrade an organization's pricing power.
Okay, interesting. Okay, cool. Now, look, many organizations and companies do already have robust innovation programs in place to help them grow and also to meet their evolving customer needs. But you have to ask yourself, you know, what can really be improved now? You know, that's one of the million-dollar questions centered around innovation. What can be improved?
I think it's a great question. You know, I've been part of, you know, small and large organizations, and what I've seen is that organizations of all sizes do put a lot of time, resources, and emphasis on creating innovation, whether that's, you know, having a process where they can farm ideas from their existing teams, have competitions, or even like separate out groups that are specifically dedicated to innovation so that they have that kind of future in mind for organizations. And I think that often works really well. The gap that we see, I think, is in many ways what Derek just alluded to with the concept of a consumption gap, because what it boils down to is that, is this new product, feature, or service aligned with the customer needs at that specific time? And then taking that one step further, is the organization set up to be able to monetize that in the right way? Meaning that, okay, for example, we've come out with this new platform that can run artificial intelligence that can and can enhance decision making. So we've got this product and it's ready to go. And based on our customer conversations, we've talked to them and we feel like this can add some significant value to our customers. But we've got a sales force out there of 1,000 different people with varying levels of skill and different types of experience. Are they ready to be able to sell this? Are they ready to be able to communicate the value that this can offer their customers? Do they know kind of how to price this thing, how to negotiate, and do they really kind of, have they bought into that commercialization model? That's one aspect of it. The other aspect is, you know, with innovation, it can be quite complex. And if you're looking at, you know, in the example that I gave about a platform-based infrastructure that can help run AI, is the customer's infrastructure ready for something like that? Is this going to impact them in the right way that's possible? So point being that there's all of these different considerations that come into play. And it's really, in my experience, it's about having that organizational tie-in between product teams, between sales teams, between marketing teams, between pricing teams, the entire commercialization team. So they're speaking the same language and can translate some of these high value features to something that is going to impact the customer and can be communicated in simple terms throughout the sales and purchasing process. So that's, I think, the biggest gap is being able to connect the dots within organizations so they can take it to market in such a way that it's reflective of the value they have. And just to give you a couple examples of, or maybe one, a single example, what we often see is, you know, an example I gave earlier where an organization is generating $50,000 worth of value, the reason they are generating so much value is because there's years of innovation behind it. But what we're finding is that the prices they're charging are far, far below the value they are delivering to customers. And I think the takeaway, some of the takeaways that we walk away with is that they've done such a good job with innovation and they've differentiated from their customers and that they're delivering so much value, but their prices are not reflective of that. So we've got some, you know, general analysis that we'll go through within the workshop to say, okay, what are some quick things that you may want to look for to get a sense of, are you under monetized? Is there not, has there been innovation that you've not been fully taking advantage of? And then the other aspect is, how do you prioritize innovation? So I think a lot of those kind of tie-in elements come into play, and we'll go into a lot of depth in the course of our workshop.
Wow. That, you know, you guys both paint the picture of, is a company even ready to innovate? And if they are, you know, how do they communicate that? And are they under monetizing, over monetizing? Is that even a thing when it comes to innovation? So that's very interesting aspects regarding innovation from a pricing, from professional pricers like you both. Now, let me ask you guys this question as well. Are there signs that an organization is not realizing their full benefit of their innovation?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's it's one of the things that we'll go into. So, you know, for example, I think one of the things that one of the quick things that we look for is to analyze the customer base. And if you go in and look at a customer base and say, you know what, customers are just they absolutely love you guys. This is great. Nobody ever cancels. That's a good thing because you want to have customer stickiness, but then it begs a question on, are you monetizing things in the right way? For companies that have, you know, thousands and thousands of customers, it's likely a bit odd that customers aren't looking for other alternatives or anything like that. And a sign of having some customer turnover, not too much where it's negatively impacting your business, that can be a positive because not every organization is set up to fulfill the needs of all customers. Mm-hmm. They're often operating in different segments, and that's kind of the benefit of competition, because competitors do different things well. Mm-hmm. But if your customers are sticking with you, then or if every customer is always sticking with you, that is a sign to further explore, to say, you know what, what would be the impact if we were to better monetize some of the innovations that we have had to date? Anything to add there, Derek?
No, I just reiterate, it's all about understanding the voice of the customer, the nuances between the different customer use cases for a different product. And I think in many cases, it falls on the pricing organization or the pricing team to be that bridge between sales and product development, to ensure that you're monetizing innovations correctly, or even in some cases directly between the customer and product development, to ensure that in a innovative solutions are monetized effectively.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, good. So there are signs and they need to be aware. That's good. Now, you guys have really been speaking on this throughout the whole discussion about what attendees will learn. But I want to ask you guys individually, is there anything that you are most excited for attendees to learn during your workshop? Because they're going to learn a lot of things. And this is going to be a very insightful workshop.
Yeah. For me, I think the number one thing is, like, we want to take attendees through the process from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And in the background, what we are going to layer in is picking apart at the most granular level an example of something that we have worked through, where a company has asked us to help them best monetize their innovation. So we're going to mm-hmm. take them through that process from start to finish. What I'm personally most excited about is to be able to learn from the collective knowledge of attendees, to say, to get a sense of how is this occurring in your respective organizations, mm-hmm. and being able to get to a point where we say, these are some commonalities that we are observing as a result of the knowledge. Because, you know, I think what I'm most excited about is the opportunity to facilitate some of these conversations. But I think the true learning happens from attendees engaging with each other and to say, okay, this is a problem at this type of organization. Industries could be completely different, but there are all these commonalities. And this is something that we have used to best approach that, whether that's, you know, shifting our customers from looking at one price metric to another so that we can capitalize on innovation, thinking about the different types of price models that best resonate with perhaps different customer segments, or building out these processes from an innovation perspective that, like I was saying earlier, connect the dots within the organization. So mm-hmm. I'm definitely excited to be able to run through some of the content that we have, but yeah. What excites me a little bit more is to get the reactions from the room and just try to build on that collective knowledge from the attendees. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and just add, we're really focused on making this workshop practical. So one of the things that I'm most excited about for the workshop in Atlanta is this tool that we plan to bring to the workshop to kind of make it real and make it practical for workshop attendees. So it's a pricing innovation tool, just a pre-built Excel tool. We'll be using it in various exercises throughout the workshop to help pricers one, discover and document the value of innovative products, and two, calculate the price for an innovative product of their own. So whether that's a new product, a brand new product, a repackaged product, or just a incrementally innovative solution, workshop attendees will leave the workshop with a head start and a practical guide on how to start thinking about pricing that solution within their organizations. So we're super excited to see everyone in Atlanta. It should be a great time.
It is going to be a great time. Thanks so much, guys, for your time speaking with me today, Adnan Akbari and Derek Neal with Holden Advisors. Before I let you guys go, I want to ask you guys one more question. Where can listeners visit or go to learn more about you guys individually, your company, or what to just, you know, any kind of resources you have out there for listeners?
Yeah, we'd love for attendees to check out our website, HoldenAdvisors.com, and you can get more of a sense of our company, our approach, and learn a little bit more about us.
Okay, awesome. And also LinkedIn as well, in case they want to connect individually. That's always a great resource as well. So thank you guys so much for your time. They are going to be at the conference October 10th through the 13th here in Atlanta, Georgia, for our fall conference. Until next time, you guys have a good one. Bye-bye.